Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. Let me clear my throat, and also acknowledge that I'm recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. On this day, Sunday, March 2nd, 2025. Happy birthday, Lulu. All right. Today's episode is still, and always, rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right. I wonder if there's a possibility in the future that this I will make an episode that won't be rated R. But one thing's for sure, it will always be rated F. Okay. Another acknowledgement I need to make is I want to shout out you, the heartbeat of this interaction, and that's all you listeners. So if you are who I think you are, I'm going to need you to take a break from hating on yourself. And salute yourself, applaud yourself, and applaud your beautiful selves. Because I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Trying to be a good host. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, I also salute you. And as you continue to applaud yourself, I want to greet you. And my hopes are that I say something at some point that resonates and leads to us making history. You know what I mean. That we connect. All right, welcome. Yay! Another reminder that shutuppodcast.com is the website. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. All right. Okay. All right, okay, I'm just, hold on, making sure I hit the record button. at my last physical, my doctor gave me these, I get the feeling they're better allergen pills. What am I talking about? I'm still coughing. But I'm hoping I'm going to cough less. We'll see. Worst case scenario, I'm going to ask for a refund. Okay, today's episode 245. I am not sure what I'm going to call it. But it's very likely going to be around the theme of Le Masculin Réinventé. And I'll explain why, but in the future thought, I will share my thoughts on this documentary that I watched yesterday called Elle M'a Quitté. For your Anglophone, that translates to She Left Me. And it's a documentary. You know what? If I were to sum it up, men's inability to handle a breakup. Anyway, I'll elaborate in a future thought. But for now, let's get some preliminaries out the way. So let's start with some quotes. Okay, first one goes. Oh, did I really not? Oh, yes, I did. Okay, hold on a second. That's first one goes. Motherfucker. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. You still have time. Unfortunately, the content creator, I don't know what is up with this site, chose to delete their post. And it was just a general idea of it's still not too late. My bank account says otherwise. it's the idea is still not too late. Look, I'm 50. And I have to fight with this thought that, you know, it's too late for me to do anything. Anything that I needed to do was during my youth. And anyway, it's a fight I'm constantly having with myself in believing that no, it ain't over. You still got time. You still got time to move to a different. There's still time. I mean, yeah. Anyways, the quote is gone, and so I won't be able to read it. So that's really unfortunate. All right. I knew I should have saved it to my phone. All right. Okay. Whatever. Cough number one. All right. Next quote. Adults will have negative opinions about you and everything you do. Let them judge. Let them react. Let them doubt you. Let them question the decisions you are making. Let them be wrong about you. Mel Robbins, the let them theory. Now, I don't know why he says adults. Okay, yeah, because I 50 years old, I'm still talking about how I struggle at being an adult. But that stems from the idea that I have this negative, I have this bad habit of assuming that everyone's got their shit figured out except for me. Yeah, anyway, whatever. No one's perfect. It's one of those things I deal with. So I guess the idea of saying adult, it's just a reminder that I'm not the only one who has that thought or who feels like they're going out surrounded by adult. Everyone's got this adult shit figured out when it's not true. But it's true, yeah. I guess, I'm sensitive to judgment of others. Wow. Speaking of which leads to my next quote. And it goes, it never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinion than our own. Marcus Aurelius. Damn. Yeah, back in them days, right? Marcus Aurelius. Was he back in before Christ? Or, you know, it doesn't matter. But whatever. People don't change. Interesting. Last quote is trauma says versus healing says. Oh, am I really not following this person? Okay, hold on. Let me just do it. Oh, I am following. Okay. Trauma says, if someone doesn't want to listen when I share about how they've hurt me, then I'm probably making a big deal out of nothing. Shout out if you can relate. Healing says, someone's unwillingness to hear me out when they've hurt me is not an indication that my hurt is invalid. It is an indication of their emotional immaturity. Oh, my God. Let me hit the, yeah, beautiful. Tell me, I dare you say that's not beautiful or powerful. All right, okay, so that's all I got for quotes. That's it for today. All right, okay, let's jump into some randomness. Hold on a second. I had to clear my throat one more time. Okay, randomness. Okay, for this one, I'm not going to read the article. Hold on, let me see how long it is. Hey, let me play it. Okay, and it's about, no, that's too long. Okay. How long is it? Yeah, that's kind of long. But you know what? I am going to talk about, links are in the show notes. Actually, I'm not going to put a link to but it is about Zelensky. The travesty. Oh, man, it was ugly, man. It's a dark times. Things are changing, man. Things are changing. Like, I'm... and this is just me trying to adapt to this crazy world that we're in. Zelensky meeting with Trump and Vance. And, the shit was ugly, man. It was... where do I start? Okay. First of all, I didn't watch the whole clip because the shit was cringe. Second, I thought the shit was just disrespectful. It was just ugly. It was, on one end, you got Zelensky advocating for his people. It's like, hey, Russia is invading my country, and I could sure use some help. Going around, you know, getting recruiting, kind of like Churchill did during World War II. It's like, hey, you know, kind of need some help here. And he's doing whatever world leader would do. It's like advocate for his people. And the thing that bothers me is how he had to do it at the White House. And I don't know if homeboy was like cut off. I mean, was like, did he know that he was stepping into, Trump was going to use this shit, this opportunity to show his allegiance to Putin? And, it was disgusting, man. It was like looking at a black woman. I was going to say a black dude. No, a black woman talking to Trump about racism or police brutality. Like, that's like the gaslighting, the level of, okay, yo, I think it's bad what's going on to you people, but kind of need you to suck my dick. It was terrible, man. I'm not gonna, if you've seen it, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. If not, I'll find an article that you can bring yourself up to speed with. But the one, yeah, it really bothered me that, I tell you what, this thought articulates what I'm, why it bothered me. It goes, the caption is courage versus coop rage. As we wake up this morning, one guy is golfing in Mar-a-Lago, another guy is on vacation in Vermont. VT, that's Vermont, right? And then the only guy who is working to defend Ukraine, America, democracy, and freedom is today meeting with European leaders before going back to a war zone. Zelensky is a hero. Yeah, it's all kind of awful. I didn't realize I'd be searching for words to try to articulate thoughts, but yeah, it was just all kinds of awful. But I think at the crust of it, at the bottom of it, that bothers me the most is how one of those realizations that, yeah, the world you were told about does not exist. It's one end, you got Zelensky advocating for his people. And on the other end, you got Trump, draft dodger, rapist, zero character. He conned his way into the White House. He conned his way in getting people to believe that he's a public servant. He conned his way in getting people to believe that he should be the leader of the free world, that he was going to take this shit seriously. Anyway, and then it bothered me that he had the audacity, him and Vance had the audacity to lecture him about peace. It was a circus, man. I'm thinking of a scene in The Wire, season 4. Spoiler alert. When, you know what? There's a scene where a politician, in order to fix a problem, he had to talk to a higher up, to the governor of his state, to help them out. And but the governor put him, essentially was going to put him in the same situation some of us would feel if you went to your parents to ask them for money. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you this money, but first you're going to have to hear this huge lecture about being financially responsible. It's more the person who's doing the giving is taking the opportunity to humiliate you. Basically, you're going to earn this. First, I'm going to need you to beg. It was just terrible, man. It was, Zelensky was up there justifying him, his people, his soldiers, standing up for himself. Look, I am not versed in the Ukraine war. I couldn't even tell you why the geopolitics, you know, I'm gonna be cruel. Why they give a fuck? I'm gonna say they give a fuck, okay? And I'm saying this because there's, out of all the countries being invaded, why is this one the one you choose to care of? I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying I cannot articulate. What I do know is it's honorable on the part of Ukraine. I don't know these people. But any country who stands up for themselves, they're being invaded and they're fighting back. And you would think that a country like, you know what? I was going to say a country that preaches democracy would take this shit seriously. But, you know, Trump is in the office, man. Nothing is real. Nothing is, everything is bullshit. You know what? Trump in office, it's a year for us cynics, all right? All right. Us cynics are like, it's a good time to be a cynic. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Don't believe shit. But going back, it does bother me that this man has to like be in the same room as this punk mother, this punk bitch. It's disgusting. Bothered me. I don't know how much time I've been talking about it, but yeah, it's enough to let you know it bothers me. Okay, next item is a clip by Renzel. Actually, I'm not going to play it. Not because it's in French, it's because it's, I'll just get to the point. And also, it's one of those, better you hear it yourself to get the full impression. Because I'm going to stick to the point that I appreciate that he made in there. Oh, okay, Renzel Dachetel. He's like, I consider him like the Daily Show of the Quebec. You can count on him. Like, if there's some fuck shit going on in French media, you can count on him to have, like, an insightful take. An educational and insightful take on the topic. And in this particular one, he talks about this dude named, Stéphane Bureau, Lepage. You know what? You don't need to know these people. But it is a thing in common to white folks, especially French-speaking white folks, to drop the N-word and to drop the N-word, like to rehash an old conversation about why can't I use the N-word, or just drop it and pretend like you weren't being offensive and you're like, no, in this context where the verb, I'm using the transistent verb, but the full moon, I'm not being offensive. You can always count on a white person, especially French Canadian, to try to convince you, Jedi mind trick you into believing that the way they use the N-word wasn't racist, therefore, i.e., you shouldn't be offended. And if you are, well, something's wrong with you. Maybe you're inferior. Anyways, but in his take, it's he notices that the purpose of them dropping the N-word is also like a roll call. It's their way of, I'm going to use the word tribal call. It's their way of saying, yo, I'm in here. Holla at me. Holla at your boy. If you're a like-minded person, holla at me. Holla at me. And it's not to be like, and to be like, yes, I'm one of those white people who are going to tell you that I'm not racist, but I'm actually racist. And if you're one of them, holla at me. We're burning a cross tonight at 6. I don't know. Klan doesn't burn a cross, well, that I know of. I've never been invited to a cross burning. But that's the new cross burning. That's the new, yo, we're over here. That's the new, we're recruiting. It's just drop the N-word and then convince in a way that's convincing to other white people that, no, I'm not being offensive. I'm just, maybe in English it's offensive, but the way we say it in French, it's kind of different. Anyways, we've never had, a point. It's annoying, but it's more the his take of how dropping the N-word is just their way of saying, hey, like-minded racist, holla at your boy. Of course, they're going to deny it, but look at the action. Anyways, all right. So, yeah, that's it for... there was another clip by Renzel that I appreciated, and it's about Daniel Lafreniere. Is that his name? Make sure the author... Daniel. Let me make sure I pronounce it. Daniel Daniel? Daniel Lafreniere. Yeah, okay. Oh, no, that's not him. that's not him. That's embarrassing. Hold on a second. Let me pull up. Come on. Danny, okay, c'est ça que je pensais. Okay, Danny Lafreniere. The dude's Asian, huh? Why would he have an English name? Danny Lafreniere. How embarrassing. Yo, I'm losing points on my Haitian card. Anyways, he was on some talk show, some French talk show, and this dude's got all kinds of, or he's well-renowned for speaking French. Yeah, sure, he's Asian, but He's got the qualification. He's teaching white folks how to speak French. And it's again a take by Renzel that I appreciate. And it's he goes on this talk show, and a host to greet him and greets him, tries to pronounce what did he say? He says something in Creole to greet him in Creole. But the way he said it, it sounded so. Like, dude, did you put an effort? It sounded more offensive. It sounded like, hey, let me use your. There was nothing about it that was flattering. I don't know. It was awkward as fuck, and it just reminded me of that was actually an episode that I'm thinking of making. My relationship with white people in Canada. White people always gotta make shit weird. It's like you just gotta accept that at some point in this conversation, this white person's gonna say some awkward shit, some cringe shit, some shit. Like, there's something about when they see a black skin, they gotta act out of character. It's not enough to be like, it's another human being. I'm just gonna interact with this human being like it's another human, like they're a human being. No, there's something that goes through their mind when they see a black person. It's like, I gotta put on a show. I gotta put on a different version of myself. Well, I mean, yeah, the version of myself that doesn't use the N-word. Maybe, I think it's all the focus they put in their head to not say the N-word, and it causes them to, hey, yo, isn't that right? That's how you people talk? I'm trying to be cool. Look, I went to the Caribbean, and I got a tan. Am I right? Let me touch your hair. I mean, what the fuck? Be cool, dog. Stay cool. I don't know. It makes me curious about what the fuck goes through a white person's head when they see a black person. I think it's like boom, 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 boom. Like all of Africa and slavery. It's like, oh shit. Get like, there's something that goes through the psyche. Which is why I act surprised when I see a white person who acts cool and no hidden agenda around a black person. It's like, something's up. You're about to sell me some Amway. I don't know. Something's up. And whatever. I think the moral of the story is be cool, white folks, but I don't know. It's like before you try to learn a dance on a beat, try to be cool. All right. Okay. Next item. Woo. Okay. Oh, yesterday. So let's just get personal here. Just off the script. Yesterday, I was it the 20th, February 28th, and the Black Eye Who Tips had a live taping of their show, live recording of their show, and so I was one of those people who bought the Zoom link. And yo, I gotta tell you, man, I was so excited. I prepared for this shit like it was the Super Bowl. I had weed ready, legalized purchase weed, by the way. Some liquor, you know, grown folks liquor, and I was by my computer and some snacks, and you know, cause I was ready to interact in the chat. And unfortunately, the sound wasn't that great. I get the feeling, my theory, my experience as a sound expert, as a sound technician, is they must have had some kind of filter turned on that takes out the sound of the audience, and I think this, I don't know, that's, I'm just giving you a theory, right? But because I was amazed at, you could not hear the audience at all. I'm like, wow, that's kind of, wow, what kind of voodoo technology you got going on there? But the thing is, the louder the audience were, the more it would mute out, it would mute the performers, the people on screen, so the hosts. And so you can tell, whatever, there was some kind of fight going on. Sometimes the sound would be great, and then the sound would go out, would come in and out. Like, I felt like saying, hey, you see that, what you did with the volume? Don't fucking touch shit. Honestly, who knows? Maybe it's AI that was doing the calibration, the sound engineer, but sound wasn't that great. And people in the chat noticed. By the way, shout out to the people in the chat. They were all warm and everything like that there. Now, here's the really important part, because shit happens. I got to tell you, Murphy's Law happens. And I'm a big believer in the theory of it's not what happened, it's how you react to what happens. So people in the chat, they were like, cool. You could tell that when it comes to the Black Analytics community, they are like, cool when it comes to the community. And the part that I appreciated the most is that when I, because I was curious what was going to happen. A lot of us in the chat, some people in the chat were saying, look, you know what, I ended up leaving the thing first and just leaving the live streaming early because, I was getting high too. And, you know, and I was just like having to like, it was getting unbearable. That's long story short, I'll be honest. It was getting unbearable, so I logged out. Now, the part that I appreciated is that next day, Blackout Tip puts out an episode. They stick to their subject, and they had a feedback show. They do that on Saturday. Wait. Sunday. Wait. Oh, 28th was a Friday. Yeah, oh, my God, yes. So on Saturday, they had yesterday was March 1st. Sorry, gang. Anyways, they put out an episode, and I appreciate the fact that it was – Rod addressed the sound quality. Because I know he's big on quality. I can sense that he doesn't bullshit when it comes to like serving his customer. Like if he was a drug dealer. What, you didn't get high? Okay, hold on a second. Let me hook you up. Let me give you some whatever. But my point, I appreciate the fact that he addressed it at the beginning of the show. And it wasn't like, well, fuck y'all niggas, man. Guess you lost your money. Nah, he said that he's gonna put out an audio version. He's gonna email it to the rest, and then he's gonna work to see if he can recreate, send us a video audio sync together. Good call. My point is, he's gonna make shit right. And even went as far as to say, look, if after all that you still didn't like it, I'll give you your money back. And I'm in the category of people, I'm not going to ask for my money back. I believe that it was shit happened. See, that's the thing about this whole podcasting world is the relationship. That's why I call it this thing of ours. Just the relationship you have with your favorite podcaster goes beyond. It's like, it's close. It reminds me, it's close to the relationship you have with your pastor. It's like you want them to succeed. And it felt like family. So it's like, yo, shit doesn't work out for you. It didn't work out for all of us. So I'm glad that he was straight up about it. He goes, yeah, my bad. He talked about how he got a new mixer and he thinks that might've been a factor. He didn't test it. And he believes that was a factor. Me, it's, I don't know, whatever. Whatever filter they had going on but it was wild, man, because they had on stage, it was Rod and Karen and Justin as usual, and JL Covey. Shout out to the person in the audience who asked to make the first segment White People News. I mean, come on, whatever. JL's the one guy who could say that's their name, whatever, and whatever. Yeah, it bothered me because I could tell there was some great jokes going on because I could hear the audience. You could hear, you know, the routine. But whatever. I'm not mad that, I enjoyed the first few, the beginning, the people in the chat. Ils étaient très chaleureux. Comment on dit chaleureux en anglais? Chaleureux. They're very kind. And they made it worth it. It's an unfortunate, but whatever. It won't. I look forward to the next but you know what? I think I just enjoy having something to look forward to. Like on that idea, there's a comedian. His name is a French comedian. His name is Mi Benson Sylvain. I think he's moving up in the world, whatever. But I'm trying to get myself to go to comedy clubs. I'm trying to get the bug back, and it's on a Wednesday. But fuck it, told myself I'm gonna check him out. I'm looking forward. I bought the ticket in advance. It's on a Wednesday. I'm going to make a nice, beautiful trip out of it. And yeah, man, just need to get myself back into comedy clubs. At the very least, as a fan, as a patron, if I could, that's step A. Phase one is enjoying being in a comedy club and enjoying the show. phase two will be getting back on that stage. Right. Okay. Last but not least, last item I have is I've using the power of AI, I've developed a tagline for the podcast. Didn't know I needed one. And check this out. I'm going to read it out. It goes, which is which? Tagline is, I talk, you listen. Supporting tagline, silence is golden. That you've heard that already. A safe space for my thoughts. But my favorite one, personal expression, is my mic, my thoughts, no interruptions. Shut up, press play. This is like, I like this, man. Yeah, man. I can't take full credit for the creation part. It's pretty much I used the help of AI for that one. But I'm telling you all this because, and for those who probably noticed on Blue Sky, I've updated the short bio for the podcast. But I'm telling you all this because I have an idea where I'm going to record a TikTok clip for this podcast. And it's just going to be based on, how do you promote a podcast like this? I have an idea for a TikTok. That's my point. And I think that's finding the courage to do it. But at some point, one day, sometime, I will do it. So from tagline to a TikTok video. All right. This concludes randomness. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to the featured thought. All right? Okay. All right. Go get up and fait l'exercice. Shake your legs. Whatever they tell you. All right. Let's take a break. And I'm back. A face of stone was shot on the other end of the phone. Word back home is that you had a special friend. So what's so special then? You have given away without getting at me. That's your fault. How many times you forgiven me? How was I to know that you were sick? You were plain sick of me. I know the way a nigga living was whack, but you don't get a nigga back like that. Shit, I'm a man with pride. You don't do shit like that. You don't just pick up and leave me sick like that. You don't throw away what we had just like that. I was just fucking those girls. I was going to get right back. They say you can't turn a bad girl good, but once a girl, once a good girl's gone bad, she's gone forever. I'll mourn forever. Shit, I got to live with the fact I did you wrong forever. Can't see him coming down the aisle. All right, so feature thought. Okay, so there's a connection to what I just read, and I'll just get to the point. Yeah, so, no, actually, no, I'm going to take a delay. So there I was driving in my car, minding my own business, and I listened to this radio station called, every once in a while, I listen, not all the time, you know, I sometimes I'm too lazy to plug my phone to, first world problem, kids, plug my phone to the USB, so I'll listen to the radio, and Socket Poinsett, let me get this, oh my god, okay, yeah, Sika OF FM, every once in a while I'll listen to that station, 104.7 Utawe. I can't explain it, fuck it, I'm just gonna justify it, but there's something soothing about just listening to these white people talk in French. Yeah, it's gonna suck the one day they get into some racial shit, but they're gonna ruin it. But I don't know, I can't explain. I just enjoy hearing these folks talk to each other. There's something about that. Maybe it's my brain that's like, hey, I'm receiving a message that I can decode. It's like I gotta remind myself that my first language is French. Whatever, I just enjoy listening to them, and this particular time, I appreciate I did, because they talked about a documentary that would be out, and I gotta tell you, I'm gonna talk more about the trail than I'm gonna talk about the actual documentary, or how it, why it resonated with me, but one of the, the lady was talking about, the one of the hosts was explaining his documentary that's out on Radio-Canada, or Radio-Canada, and it's called El Maquité. And what got my attention is how the documentary is more focused on the man's side, the man's perspective on the breakup, on a breakup. Tell you what, let me see if I can read. I will read what the show description. El Maquité. All right. Okay, je l'ai. It goes Karina Marceau, don't know who she is, and Stéphane Kreit. Like, I don't. Outside of this documentary, I don't know who these two people are, but I'm assuming that they're known for this shit. Okay, explore les impacts des ruptures amoureuses chez les hommes, et leur donnant la parole, et en se demandant comment les aider dans leur détresse lors d'une séparation. All right, so translation. It goes the two people I mentioned. They explore the impact of breakups with men, and giving them a safe space, go figure, and to talk about their coping mechanism, how they deal with it. And it's more the idea of men seem to handle, fuck it, it's the inability of for men to handle breakups, mainly because men don't do shit like, hey, let me process my feelings. It's like, I think what really got my attention during the trailer is one dude used the word réinventer, le masculin réinventé. And I'm thinking of making that the title of today's episode. And in English, it's masculinity being reinvented or redefined, which is something that, one of those things that I'm about. If you've heard me on previous podcasts, I talk a lot about how there was a phase in my life where I told myself that I give up. I'm tired. I give up being a real man. At the time, what I was saying is I was rejecting masculinity. The definition, I just want to be myself. I don't give a fuck how you perceive me. I'm focused on how I perceive myself. Fuck you. I'm not trying to attain your definition of masculinity. I'm sticking to mine. And I think what my favorite line, did I write it down? It goes, oh man, did I really not write it down? Hold on, did I? Oh wait, just a sec. I'm gonna go through my notes here. Notes. Okay. All right. So here's in the notes that I put down. It goes, I didn't write it down. It goes, oh man. There's a play on word. He said, there's a play on word of how to be your real self versus how to be a real man. There was a play on that one. And that's the point. A lot of us boys, a lot of us men, were boys who were indoctrinated with the idea that here's the image of masculinity. Whatever the fuck you think you are, go fuck yourself. You need to aspire to be this thing. And you could listen to gangsta rap, and they have everyone, every rapper has a definition of, you know, to be a real man, you got to be a pimp, a great drug dealer, and rich. A pimp, rich, and under no circumstances, and heterosexual. That's the definition of real masculinity. Oh, and under no circumstances, you do not trust them hoes. So the loyalty you have for your brother, for your best friend is not the loyalty you should have towards your woman. It's a terrible definition. Like it's to the point that sometimes I'm tired of hearing that version of hip hop. Like I'm a dysfunctional male on records, or being a toxic male is a big thing. Anyway, so this documentary touches on that theme. There's a lot of hey, fuck what society tells you what to do. There's a lot of one of my favorite interviews is this one guy. He talks about how, he had all his homies. He had no one to talk to about it, and and the anger he had towards his ex for leaving him, and exactly like that line that I just recited by Jay-Z. You don't pick up and leave and just be sick like that. Like, they don't go into whether it was their fault or not. But the point is, their inability to accept the fact that, yo, this chick doesn't love you anymore. Maybe she saw you at the beginning, but she doesn't. And, yeah, a lot of dudes have difficulty processing that shit. And a lot of it just has to do that we're not allowed to use the tools to process it. We're not allowed to be vulnerable. I still remember anecdote time. I still remember this one time. I don't think it's a coincidence that this dude is French. A friend of mine, he's actually from Paris. French dude, black dude, French dude, right? And I met him. Used to hang out with him when I was back in California. And he broke up with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend broke up with him. Whatever, man. But the shit didn't work out. And I remember calling him to see, hey, so you want to go to the club? You want to go to the strip club? You want to, whatever, man. You want to do some dude shit? And homie was like, could not let go of that shit. But I want to be clear. He was in tears. He was like heartbreak. Like he was in his feelings. And I remember being uncomfortable by this shit, not because I'm man's man, because I remember being, I thought we weren't allowed to cry. I remember like thinking, am I being punked? I didn't know we were like, cause I'm the empath. I'm the empathetic type. I'm the one like, yeah, I'll hear your problems. But this guy's actually in tears. And he's actually saying, how could she do this to me? Like, it was more like he was processing his feelings. His, I don't believe this would happen, blah, blah, blah. You could tell this man was hurting. And the same, yeah, I'll just hear you out. I was like shocked. I was more caught up in myself. Like, I thought I was being pranked. I thought that, okay, if I'll be all sensitive and hear you out, then someone would be like, yo, nigga, you're supposed to, like, am I supposed to diss him for crying? I remember another friend who, long time, I was young. This is before my enlightened days. Everything I'm telling you is all before my, I'm the person I am today. He broke up with his girlfriend. And the thing is, the worst part about it is, I was like, good for her. Because he was shitty to this woman. I won't go into detail, but he was a terrible person to this woman. And it's to the point that I wanted to high-five the girl, good for you. I don't know what motivational tape or what Beyonce line, what Erykah Badu, Maya Angelou poem you heard, but you did the right thing. But because he was my homie, I was looking out for him, and I was, you could tell he was hurt. And I was trying to be sympathetic, help him out. You know what I did? I gave him, I think Snoop Dogg had just came out with an album, and he was like, and the theme of, man, fuck a bitch, man. You know, bitches ain't shit but hoes and shit. Basically, I was telling him, ignore your feelings. I was trying to convince him to, and he was buying into it. He was like, okay, I'm just gonna, let's get some alcohol in me and whatever. But I was giving him destructive measures. Again, not giving the tools to process our feelings, to handle it the right way. And I bring up the fact that it was French. I think the fact that it's a big deal, the fact that when I was first watching the documentary, my first intention was to be critical. Just like, why would you say it like that? Why would you present this? This is corny, whatever, blah, blah. Even though I agreed with the message. And then it hit me. I'm like, yo, you're watching this. I had gotten so used to watching American media that I forgot that, no, they're going to tell me a story They're going to send me a message their way. So you're the one who needs to do the work and be receptive of the message. Don't criticize these people because they're not doing it the American way. The message that they're presenting, I don't think it's not something that would go mainstream in American media, because these people are still debating with each other on whether fire should be. I'm saying, like, they're behind. They're like a society. They're advanced technologically, but in terms of consciousness, in terms of worldview, Americans are fucking. That interview with Zelensky was clear enough that, yeah, man, you liberals, you woke folks are the problem. Let's go back to the old days. Why can't we, like, stone bitches for being out of line? What the fuck? What were we thinking giving women the right to read? What the fuck were we thinking freeing black people? Holy shit, now they're talking all kinds of smack. Let's go back to the days where the white man was right, was in control, was in the driver's seat. Like, they're, again, trying to go back. And to Canadian society, yeah, we're kind of liberal. We're more progressive on that shit. Anyways, so this documentary, one of the things I was getting ready to criticize, but I think it was very brave on their part. One of the men they interviewed was a man who killed his girlfriend or wife or girlfriend. And I could, that could be difficult to handle. And it hit me. Part of, because they mentioned, they said, no, this dude served his time. He paid his debt to society. I mean, he can't go back. He killed his girlfriend. Like, he's tarnished for life. He's the guy who murdered his girlfriend over a breakup. But he's trying, you can tell, this is the part, it's not everyone's going to be able, is going to be willing to accept that, okay, he made amends for his crime. So I'm choosing to believe that, yo, he regrets what he did, and he's sincere about teaching other men, don't do what I did. And it was really deep, because he describes how, yeah, it wasn't my time in jail that brought me to the state that I am today. It was after jail. That's when I started to process on what I did was fucked up. But the thing is, it's not uncommon. And this is what I'm trying to get at is, yeah, next week's going to be International Women's Day, but we will always talk about how the violence women face at the hand of men, like violence against women. Against women. We're always talking about it. Always talking about it. Well, women will make us aware about it, but we know what we're talking about. We know what we are not talking about. Solutions. How the fuck do we stop? Right now it's just stop the violence. It's all these pretty posters, but this, men don't have discussions about how the fuck did we get to this point. I remember I was at a barbershop, and I don't know how this came in conversation, but I may have asked it, or someone may have asked it, just in general. It was a room filled with men. It's like, yo, if your homegirl came up to you and said, yo, my boyfriend, my husband, whatever, beats me, would you do something about it? Every man in there was like, nope, I'm minding my own business. And this is not me being judgmental, because I was like, I guess that's how it is. I guess that's the world we live in. Mind your own business. I felt like this documentary was a step closer. I'm not saying it is the solution, but a step closer to the solution. Being able to acknowledge that, yo, fellas, we're fucked up. By the way, that's part of what I was rejecting about masculinity, because masculinity seems to be being the worst thing that happened to some or all women. It's part of the definition. If you like, oh wow, wait, holy shit, hold on, you're doing nice thing to this woman, you're doing nice things for this woman, and you're not doing it for sex, something's wrong with you. You're not a real man. It's the definition of masculinity that I was brought up with. When I grew up Christian, was fucking toxic. I think that's phase one, getting yourselves to realize that, yeah, all of us were programmed to be shitty people to these ladies. Don't get me wrong. Yes, I know. Sure, there are toxic women out there. There are toxic men too. What I'm getting at is we're encouraged to be toxic. It's, I don't know, maybe it's a systematic process. We're like, that's the conversation we need to have. I joke, I have a joke I do on stage, and but it's actually serious, based on something serious about how, okay, it's going to sound fucked up, but you know, it would be better if I could say it in the whole context. But my point is, and it's based on reality, is when the Me Too movement was going on, and all these women were sharing their take on, yo, of examples of sexual harassment or sexual assault they've gone through. And I remember reading some of these entries, some of these testimonials, and being like, wait a minute. I was told you're supposed to do that. Or I'm thinking of all the advices, some of the advices I was given by these pickup artists on how to pick up women. And shit was like, yo, you got to talk to her like she's got no options. That was part of the quote unquote game. And some men will say, oh, not all men. No. Any man who tells you that, look, you want to see true sincerity from a man, or you want to see how a man sees other men? Look at his face the minute he finds out he has a daughter. He's going to have a daughter. He's going to be a father to a daughter. The first thing that is going to go through his mind is all the shitty things that he's either done or turned a blind eye on. And the first he's going to think about is all that evil shit being happening to his daughter. That's why we're all like, well, I guess I'm getting a gun. I guess I'm not letting them date. It's less about no man is good enough for my woman. It's more, no, all men suck. I know the shitty things. I have a male friend that his biggest quest to having his girlfriend is having a daughter is making sure she's got a healthy self-esteem, because he knows out of all the women he took advantage of were all women who had low self-esteem, low opinions of them. Basically, shitty childhoods, or the kind that seek validation from other men. Like, he knew. That documentary was, watching that documentary, I felt like people going, yeah, B, we know what we're talking about. We know what you mean. We know why. We understand why you had a point in your life where you chose to reject masculinity. Last point, and going back to the, you know, this, I'm using this documentary to express my colère of LSM. The documentary is more about how men, it's like the only emotions they know is anger, and how processing that anger is a challenge for them. Yeah, man, yo, fellas made threats. Yeah, some dudes, it's like, yo, I thought we were going to be a forever thing. How was I supposed to know you were plain sick of me? I feel like making a soundtrack for today's episode. If I were, the three songs that would be on there would be Jamie Foxx, Why. Check out the lyrics, you'll understand. How basically it's more a song about how, yo, I thought we were in a loving relationship. I had no idea that I was kissing you goodbye. Cause a common theme with men is who get dumped or who end up in a breakup. A lot of them never saw it coming. It's like, I thought we were good. And an idea that with women, they don't decide to break up with you the day of. Yo, it was several patterns of, there was several moments of, yo, I'm tired of this shit. And then they reach a point where I don't give a fuck. And then now it's just how do we end this? Whatever. Anyway, so Jamie Foxx, why? Song Cry by Jay-Z, specifically the part where he's like, you don't do shit. Like, you can, if when you hear those words, you can hear the words of a man who's like, who's about to cry. You don't shit. I'm a man with pride. You don't do shit like that. You don't just pick up and leave. Like, he's unable to accept the situation that she don't want him no more. And the last one is R. Kelly, out of all people, When a Woman's Fed Up. I remember when that song came out. A lot of men were like, ooh, oh, wow, he's talking some real shit. I better get my shit together. But whatever. Yeah, I'm going to make one last point. This documentary allowed me to... I was less focused on their inability to handle breakup because I've already gone through that phase. Like, you weren't teaching me anything. Like, I understand. I've already gone through my phase of, wow, oh my God, I got some anger issues. I've already done that work. Now I'm dealing with the, the rage. I'm the anger I currently have with how everything I was taught about being a man was wrong. I'm still dealing with that anger. And part of that anger, it relates to what I was saying with earlier on when I was talking about Zelensky. When I think about the instructions, the rules, everything I was taught about masculinity, by those standards, by that game of masculinity, Trump, Elon Musk, they won. By those standards. It just so you understand, right? It's like that's how badly that's the low opinion I have of what it means to be a man. Because everything I was told, you were aiming to be Elon Musk or Donald Trump. Being a likable person, being a kind person, being a person of integrity, having character, wasn't factor. No, it was all about having power, money and power, being in a position where you can make other people's lives, being in a position of power and abusing it. It's kind of like growing up Christian. It's not what people told you, it's what how they acted. That's what I picked up on. Based on those actions, those two were the epitome of what you're supposed to be as a man. What? You got dumped, man? Fuck that bitch. It's her fault. That's why if there's one message that I have for men, is be your true self. I don't know. All I can say is the definition of masculinity that Elon, I'm proud. I'm happy that I've grown up, of picked up the wisdom to realize that whatever definition of masculinity they're following, it's toxic. Sure, you got more money than me, but when you die, people will be happy. Or the people who look forward to, whatever, okay. Part of my anger between Zelensky and that meeting between Zelensky and Trump and Vance was the fact that how the fuck dare you? On one end, you got a man of character like Zelensky fighting for his people, and he's being talked down to by a piece of shit like Trump. But you know why? Because he can. Trump can talk shit, can do what he wants, because he can. I think I need to see consequences for his action for me to start believing in, okay, he got to fall. I feel like Bodie in The Wire. When he meets Marlo, he goes, yo, his kind, they gotta fall. Because their kind represents everything I was told we were not supposed to be. And whatever, I'll get over it. You know, I gotta remind myself, it's my goddamn podcast. And I'm freestyling. This is the difference between scripted and unscripted episodes. I don't need to have an I don't have a conclusion. I just know that I'm bothered. The state of masculinity. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna call it. Yeah, I think that's what today's episode is gonna be called. Is masculinity reinvented or redefined or something along that line. That's when I was thinking about not just tagline, but when I'm thinking about that TikTok video that I'm about to make, one of the things I'm going to say is, how do I promote a podcast that's about unlearning patriarchy or redefining masculinity for yourself? Being a good guy, being a good person. And black, you know, whatever. But that's going to be on the list of things that the people I'm trying to reach out to, people who are into, or especially men who are trying to be a better version of themselves, better than the version they were told they were supposed to be. All right. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. This is done. I'm going to have a soundtrack section for songs that tie into the idea of feature thought. That's going to be in the soundtrack. And for other links, I got a link about racial segregation. I'm going to have to cut this out. It goes 84 men a week. Is that article still there? Nope, it was deleted. Oh, I don't know why. Okay, well then. Okay, there's only going to be two links in the other links section. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Quick reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. Motherfucker. Tiki-tiki, motherfucker. Côté bouillon, côté bouillon. Motherfucker. All right. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes, the big rubes question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.